Evening. I would like to draw your attention to the prophet, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the prophetic work which he has done and while he was there in this world. John refers most to the prophetic work. I mean, we see in other gospels also, in Luke, Mark, and Matthew, but John is the one who mentions a number of times about the prophet. And as we go through, I would like to read a few of the verses for us this evening. Lakshman, if you can. On four or five occasions in the Gospel of John, we see the prophet mentioned there. If you could turn with me to Gospel of John, chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 19. This is when Jesus was having a conversation with the Samaritan woman, and when he mentions about that you have five husbands, and when he was talking about the living water also, he mentions, I mean, when the woman understands about his complete knowledge, this is what she says. Verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." So we see here that because of a complete knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, she's calling him as a prophet. Second verse, the second instance is, if you could turn to John chapter 6 and verse 14. I have a number of verses. If you can please turn along with me. This is when he was after the feeding of the 5,000. John 6, 14. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." And also when we see about a blind man healed, the Pharisees were questioning him. John 9:17 also. The Pharisees were questioning him, or rather we'll read it. 9:17. So said to the blind man again. They said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes." He said he is a prophet. And then about when Jesus was also preaching about the Holy Spirit to satisfy the thirsty souls. Also in chapter 7 of John and verse 40. Chapter 7 and verse 40. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, "Truly, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." So we see a number of occasions there he is proclaimed as the prophet here. And similarly, Christ himself speaks about his rejection, and he himself is talking about his prophetic work and his rejection in his hometown. They are mentioned in Mark, Luke, and John, but I'll read only from John 4:44, verse 44, please. Or rather, I'll read from verse 43. Now, after the 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So here, Christ is speaking about himself. But the next two verses or three verses which we refer to, that is where my focus is when I compare or reference this to the Old Testament. John 1, 45, verse 45. John 1, verse 45, or rather, I'll read it from verse 43 onwards. Chapter 1, verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth." So we see here, Philip is referencing in a word or a passage from the Old Testament. And we'll refer to that verse shortly. And similarly, Peter and Stephen as well, during their ministry, they also refer to the same thing what Moses mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy. In Acts 3, 22 and 23, when we come to Acts 3 and 22 and 23, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will rise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you.' So here also we see Peter referring to what Moses has said. And then again, Stephen in chapter 7 also, he also refers to the same thing what Moses has said, chapter 7 and verse 37. This is what Moses has said to the children of Israel: the Lord your God will rise up for you a prophet like me. So we see a Jesus Christ being referred as a prophet or proclaimed as a prophet a number of times here in this New Testament. And then this is where for today, my small thought goes to Deuteronomy chapter 18, where Moses mentions about or prophesizes about the coming prophet, the coming Messiah. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15 onwards. There are seven things which I want to refer to here, what Moses prophesied. And I like the number seven. It's a complete and perfect number. So whenever I basically share some thoughts, I always point out to seven. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 to 19 onwards. The Lord your God will rise up for you a prophet. Number one, a prophet, one who speaks for God and does the work of your God. Number two, verse 15, like me, that is like Moses. Number three, from your midst, that is truly human. And number four, from your brethren, and that is an Israelite. And number five, when you come to verse 8, 17 onwards, or rather I'll read it from 17. And the Lord said to him, what they have spoken is good. I will rise up for them a prophet like you from among your brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them. Number five, I will put my mouth in his mouth, full of inspiration. This is whatever God, the Father has given, he is going to speak with full inspiration. And number six is, he will speak to them all that I command, obeying God. So seventh one is basically, I have put it that it is basically not about the prophecy of our Lord, but it is basically all are responsible to listen to him. In verse 19, he says, and it shall be that whoever will not listen my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require of him. So these seven things are the seven and things how Moses prophesies about our Lord as coming as a Messiah, the prophet, and how, and we'll see in the next few minutes how each one of these was as fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ. A few more verses as we meditate upon this. Number one is prophet. In verse 15, it says that prophet, that is the one who speaks God's words and does the work of God. We have already seen several verses, but in Luke chapter 7 and verse 16, it says, a great prophet has risen among us. This is when and Jesus Christ raises the son of a widow. The crowd there mentions that a great prophet has come among them. So we see a prophet who is there, who is great. The second one and is from Luke 27, 24 and 19. This is where Jesus meets the two men on the road to Emmaus, and one of them mentions about it. And I would like to read from that particular passage, Luke 24, verse 19 onwards. Or rather, I'll read it from verse 18. Then one man whose name was Cleophas answered and said to him, are you the holy stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not seen the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deeds and word. So in chapter 7, we see a great prophet. In chapter 24, or when Jesus meets these two individuals, we see that they're mentioning is a prophet mighty in deed and word. And the third thing, which is most important for all of us, we see the writer to the Hebrews, when he does a comparison across several things. I mean, he compares with angels, he compares as with Moses, he compares with Joshua, he compares with the sanctuary, or maybe the earthly sanctuary, he compares the sacrifices which were done, he compares with the high priest. But in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, he compares us it with the prophets. So shall we read from Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3? God at various times, so basically at various times, it could be different historical times, locations, cultures, and situations. We see prophets in the Old Testament. They were right from Moses' time onwards into the northern and the southern kingdom. And when they go into the exile also, God was speaking through to them in the prophets. And in various ways, it could be through laws, it could be through visions, it could be through parables, it could be through dreams. So God spoke to our fathers or the people in the Old Testament using the prophets, using various ways. But when you come to verse 2 onwards, as in the last days spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed. Here also, I would like to point out seven things here. Why do I need to do a comparison here? Because he's superior to all these prophets in the Old Testament. One is verse 2, heir of all things. The Son of God, everything which comes, which exists, comes under the control of the Son. So he's the heir of all things. Number 2, he made the worlds. He is the creator for us. Number 3, who being the brightness of his glory, that is the manifestation of our God, God's being. Number 4, he is the express image of his person, and which is the perfect representation of our God. And number 5 is upholding all things under the word of his power. Number 6 is he purged our sins. He is the savior for us. And number 7 is sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is the exalted God. So our God, who is a mighty God, who is a great prophet, a mighty in word and deed, and he is a prophet who is superior to all other prophets in the Old Testament. Next comes number 2, from your midst. When we refer to the Deuteronomy 18, number 2 is from your midst, that is truly human. He is a human being, though he's a God, who is a God above every other God, but he's truly human. He came as a human being. We see a number of verses in the New Testament. He became aim complete as a perfect man, possessing body, soul, and spirit. We have seen a number of verses there. He is a body, contains, that is what his body is offered for us. In Matthew 26:38, his soul was exceedingly sorrowful during the prayer, what he's done in the Garden of Gethsemane. And on the cross also, he said, Lord said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now he is a normal person like any other person, and he increased in wisdom and stature. He knew tiredness. His experiences is that all was proper to a true humanity fellow. Him he wept during Lazarus' time when Lazarus was dead. He has affections like anger. He grieved. He rejoiced. He loved, and he also bodily suffered for us. In Peter 1 Peter 3:18 and 4:1, he suffered for us. And like any other man, he hungered, he slept, and he called for human sympathy. And when the disciples didn't believe, like addressing Thomas, he appealed to the reality of his human body as a belief for himself. In Luke 24:39 and John 20:27, we see that he asked Thomas to put your finger into the place where he was pierced. So he was truly human, and he was basically from our midst. The third thing which I would like to share is from your brethren, an Israelite. Let's read Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, please. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make a propitiation for the sins of his people. So he was a truly he's from your brethren. It means that he's a true Israelite. Israelite is the only one, and who from we see that he is the high priest, and he fits as a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. And we see the lineage of we see in Bible and in Matthew also, that about the lineage, that he is a true Israelite, right? And in John 1:11 also, He says that he came to his own and his own did not receive him. So when I was studying through my study Bible, there are two his own. The first usage of his own mostly refers to the world of mankind in general, and the second refers to the Jewish nation. I mean, basically, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. We see that he came to his own. He was born in the family of a Jew, and we see that he was, I mean, that is how the prophecy he was fulfilled through our Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth thing is like me, like Moses. Moses, as there are seven things again which I listed down. I would, due to brevity of time, I would not like to read all the verses, but like I'll go through quickly. Like Moses. Moses was the adopted son of a king, but our Lord Jesus Christ is the son of the Most High God. Moses and Jesus mediated between God and man. Moses, in reference to the old covenant, but the new covenant we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, we see in Hebrews 9:15, he's a mediator between God and man. And Moses and Jesus are alike in that they both led people out of captivity. Yes, Moses led the people out of captivity, and then he goes to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." And that is how he led the people out of captivity. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in Romans 8:2, in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. He went to the cross, he set us free. And fourthly, Moses was like Jesus, is that he held intimate conversations with God. I mean, he was the one who had, Moses had a conversation with face to face. We see that in Exodus 33:11. And similarly, our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 11:27, it says that no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. This is how he had the intimate conversations with our Lord Jesus, with the Father. The fifth one is another way is that Moses was like Jesus, that he constantly interceded with for his people. Whenever the Israelites sinned, and Moses was the one who was interceding for his people. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he is sitting at the right hand of our Father. He is continuously interceding for us, as he is the righteous one for us. And Moses was willing to die. He offered in 33, Exodus 32 and 32. Moses offers his life in exchange for the sinners. And our Lord Jesus Christ, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends, Jesus said. So here we see he laid down, in fact, he laid down and died for all of us and given us the salvation and which we truly do not deserve. Moses and Jesus were like that, both were sent to the people who by and large rejected. Moses was rejected. Moses led a very rebellious people. They rejected him many times. And likewise, as I read in John 1:1, and Jesus, who was sent to his son, his own, and his own did not receive him. So we see like Moses. And fifthly, I'll quickly go through this. I'll put my words in his mouth full of inspiration. John 12, 49 and 50. The word that Jesus spoke was the word of God, and men refused to hear it. The Father has told him not only what to say, but what he should speak. So there are two different meanings here: what I say and what I should speak. Basically, what I say refers to the substance of the message, and what I should speak means the very words that the Lord was giving it to the Son. In John 8:28 also, while speaking with the Pharisees, he said that as my Father taught me, I speak these things. He did nothing for himself, that is in his own authority. Rather, he came into the world as a dependent one. So he did not come as on his own. It was the Father who sent him, and the words and whatever words, whatever he was supposed to speak, he spoke to all of us. And then in number six is, I will speak to them that I all that I command him, whatever was commanded to the Father. are that was spoken and while he was in this world in his ministry. John 14:31 says, I love the Father as the Father gave me a commandment, so I do. So that is what we see in John 14:31. He did not do anything outside of whatever he commanded. Whatever the Father commanded, he did it. And lastly, the seventh one, and this is for all of us. So all are responsible to listen to him and obey. We see on two occasions, or rather there are many occasions, I will reference it to Luke 9:35, when we see Jesus on the Mount of where he was transfigured. He said, God's voice came out of the cloud that enveloped them, acknowledging Jesus as his beloved son and telling him to hear and obey him. That is what we are supposed to do as we continue our life in this world. In Acts 5:29 also, we see that when the trial was going on, when the trials were there in this world, all for the apostles and also the Peter, Peter and all the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So there were, whenever there were challenges for them, and that was during the council, when they were facing the council there. So they said that we are going to obey God rather than men. So as we understand and go through this, our Lord Jesus Christ is a prophet, is a great prophet, a prophet who is mighty in work and deed, and a prophet who is superior to all other prophets. Every word what was mentioned in Deuteronomy 18, chapter verses 15 to 19, what Moses prophesied, are fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ.